Good morning, everybody. Great to see you this morning, and you're all very welcome to our Connect service. And if this is your first time here, if you're visiting us, you're especially welcome. During the season, or during this kind of term, I guess, from September through to June, over these months at our monthly Connect service, we have been thinking about some core principles that are really important to us in our life together as a church here in St. Finian's. And today, as part of that series, we're going to be looking at the topic of prayer. And prayer is a topic, I guess, that's really important at any time, but we particularly focus in on it during this season of Lent. And as we continue our journey through the season of Lent, we're going to be focusing in on the importance of prayer as our topic this morning, as we look at these principles that are really important in our life together. Hopefully, on your way in this morning, you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. Most of our regular activities are happening during this coming week. I wanted in particular to draw attention to a few things that don't happen every week, but they're happening this week. And if they are applicable to you, if they're relevant to you, we would love you to come along and to feel welcome to be part of them. So on Thursday evening, every Thursday during the season of Lent over these 6 weeks, we are pursuing a little series in the evenings at 7:30, where we're looking at the topic of discipleship. And we're looking in particular at the teaching of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. And we're looking at it through the lens of a German theologian called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And Ryan has been sort of guiding us through some thoughts about discipleship with the help of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And that's on Thursday evenings, 7:30. It's a little 35-minute service, little opportunity to pause in the middle of a busy week. And if you'd like to come along, you'd be really, really welcome. And this Thursday, after our Lenten service, the Mothers' Union are going to be meeting here in the hall at shortly after 8 o'clock. And the encouragement this month is to bring along your jewellery. There's somebody who's going to talk about jewellery. And that will be on Thursday evening. And then on Friday evening, Friday is the International Women's World Day of Prayer. And that's where women from different parts of the world write a service or a liturgy to celebrate their role in the life of the church. And this year's service has been written by the women and the ladies of Nigeria. And it's being hosted by our own church in St. Finian's at 8 o'clock on Friday evening. And all ladies are welcome to that service, 8 o'clock Friday evening, where the Women's World Day of Prayer will be celebrated using a service written by the ladies of Nigeria. And next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, Holy Communion at 11, and next Sunday evening at 7, the service of Compline. But as we come together and as we try and still our hearts before we worship God, we're going to just join together in the prayer which you'll find on the screen as we just still our hearts and invite God to be right at the heart of all we do together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father,
dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today, and that each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience.
And so our opening song is an invitation as God's people to come into his presence and to remember that as we come into his presence, we are people of the risen King. Come, people of the risen King. We sing together. if you'd like to take your seats. Whenever we come into God's presence, we're sometimes reminded that there are times when we're not the people that God would like us to be. And sometimes there are things that have gone wrong in our lives and in our dealings with others. And we always like to take the opportunity when we worship together to just bring those times to mind and to say sorry to God. And then to have the opportunity to make a fresh start in our lives afresh. So we're going to join together in a prayer where we say sorry to God and seek his pardon and forgiveness. God of everlasting love.
God of everlasting love, we confess that we've been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We've served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and one another.
Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, grant to all your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we receive God's forgiveness, we're going to sing about that in our next song, His Mercy is More.
Son, thrown into a sea without bottom.
if you'd like to take your seats again. During the season of Lent each year, our bishop likes to align our diocese, all this area where there are churches with a particular cause. And this year, he is encouraging us to think about an appeal that's going to be channeled through Fields of Life. And many of us here in the church are familiar with the work of Fields of Life through our catering teams, through Fields of Life and the funeral teas. And this year, we're going to hear about where people's money is going to go to. And if they would like to be associated with that appeal, there will be an option if you wish to contribute towards it. But we're going to see a little bit about that work which Fields of Life do in a little video.
One of the things that you and I take for granted is that every day we will have several meals that we can go to the fridge and choose what it is we want to eat at any particular given time. Children in South Sudan will be really fortunate if they're able to have one good meal every day. It's not unusual for children to end up coming along to school having not maybe had something to eat the previous day, or on occasions for several days, and they'll arrive into school hungry and therefore unable to concentrate, and come in the middle of the day they'll wander off home in search of hopefully having something to eat. And that impacts the education of children on a day-to-day basis, never mind the impact that it's having on children's health and development if they're just struggling to have the basic needs of life, at least one really good meal every day.
In the community of Meridi, the big number is children. We have dealt with children, difficult to get food, a meal of a day. We have very big and high rate of children who drop out from school. The condition of children in South Sudan are very, very difficult.
Kineen is 12 years old and she attends one of our partner schools. She comes from a family of extreme poverty and lives in a mud hut in a rural village. When she started coming to school, she looked exhausted, she looked unwell. She would have severe stomach pains from hunger and she would just be unable to concentrate in class. When Fields of Life came to her school and started teaching the children how to grow vegetables and provided them with a daily bowl of porridge, Kineen's entire personality started to change. She started to get involved in Christian clubs and sports clubs and drama clubs, and her performance really improved as a result. Last year, her performance was so good that she was one of the top performing students in the entire year and actually won a prize. It just shows you the difference that can be made if we're able to give a child a daily bowl of porridge.
Fields of Life have been building schools now for decades, actually. But it's much more than just building a school and leaving a school plonked somewhere in the community. Those schools also nowadays will very often have a farm that's connected to the school. And that farm begins to provide a vital link to the whole community, in that the children from the produce of the farm are fed every day in the school themselves. They're also, as part of their education, then learning basic farming skills, the sort of things I grew up on a small farm, the sort of things that I would have learned alongside my father as a boy growing up. They're having the opportunity to be taught in their school life day by day. And not only that, then they're taking those skills home and they're coming alongside their mum and their dad, and the little patches of ground around their homes become gardens that provide food for the whole family. Fields of Life actually want to see children thrive, and a result of children thriving, then the whole family unit and network begins to thrive in a new way as well. What I'm about to say will probably surprise and maybe even shock some of you, But the way that the Fields of Life Farms work means that actually £2.50 will enable a child to be fed for a whole year. Now just think about that for a moment, and the difference that you and I giving something towards the establishing of farms around schools might make in the lives of one child, in the lives of 10 children, in the lives of 100 children. So if £2.50 would feed one child, £25 would feed 10 children, £250 would feed 100 children, and £2,500 would feed 1,000 children. It's not quite remarkable, but it is something that maybe our churches and we as individuals might look at and take on board this Lent. And I have been reminded of the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 58. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. This Lent, let's give the gift of food so that we can say every child is being fed.
So if people do wish to be connected with that appeal, you can go to www.fieldsoflife.org, and there is an option there to give to the Down and Dromore Lenten Appeal. If you find that too difficult to do, if you wanted to make a contribution, you need to put it in an envelope that's clearly marked Fields of Life Lenten Appeal, and have a word with me, and we can facilitate that for you. But we're going to hear our Bible reading this morning now. Jim is going to bring that to us from Mark chapter 1.
The reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Here ends the reading.
During the singing of our next song, the children are going to be leaving us for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. We're going to sing a hymn of praise and gratitude, "My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness."
Yeah.
as we stay standing, let's now take the opportunity together to declare our faith in God in the creed which we'll find on the screen.
We believe. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
And in our next song, we remember that in the midst of very often the chaos that we see in the world around us that leaves us feeling anxious and apprehensive, God is the one who leads us and guides us through that. And we're going to sing about that in our next song, You Still Reign and You're Still God.
Nations have been shaken when I'm left standing in the dark, and all I feel is my heart breaking. You still reign and you still God, and when it feels so hopeless, babe, the heavy questions, it's so hard.
Let's take our seats. Lord, we ask you that this morning you would show us whatever it is that you want us to see and help us to hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's always interesting to hear the comments that people make whenever they visit our church for the first time. A lady who attended a funeral service in the church recently told me that from the outside she had no idea that it would be so beautiful once she walked in. She loved the stained glass windows, she loved the flowers, she loved the grounds. And someone else on the same occasion spoke to me all about the welcome that they had received in this room from the catering team. They spoke to me about the beautiful refreshments that had been served and how the team had looked after them so wonderfully. And those are marvelous things to hear. But by far the comments that I would hear most often from first-time visitors to the church is about the sense of peace that they feel and they receive whenever they come into the building. And often it's accompanied by comments like, you know, or you feel that people have prayed in this place for many years. And of course, that's all very true, and so it should be for any community that seeks to follow Jesus. And as we look at our core principles or the values that are most important to us, this month we are thinking together for a few minutes about the importance and the centrality of prayer. And from the Bible reading that Jim shared with us a few moments ago, I want to suggest today that prayer was the engine room at the very heart of Jesus' ministry. It was the power source that enabled all the powerful and the wonderful things that he did to happen. And by the same token, I want to suggest that without a rootedness in prayer, all of our activity, all of our busyness is little more than a smokescreen. And in order to grow, either numerically or spiritually, it is crucially important that prayer is at the very heart of all that we seek to do. But I also want to acknowledge that prayer is not straightforward in our busy lives to focus on this core principle of prayer because we're very busy all the time. And so we come into this passage that Jim read to us after an incredibly busy day in the life of Jesus. And if you remember from that reading, Jesus had been preaching and teaching in the synagogue for most of the day, and then they went off to Simon and Andrew's house, and Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. And Jesus, once he became aware of that, he went to be with her, he took her by the hand, and he healed her. And then people heard all about that, and they started to bring to Jesus, after sunset, all of the sick and the demon-possessed. We're told in that reading that the whole town crowded around the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases, and he drove out many demons. And whenever I stop and I think about what that actually might have looked like in reality, it sounds to me really relentless. And it sounds to me absolutely brutal in terms of the demands and the expectations that are laid upon any one person.
And the truth is that if Jesus was going to be constantly giving out of his resources to heal and to preach and to minister, he also needed to be able to refuel or to take in. And that's precisely where the life of prayer comes in. And we're told in that reading very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went to a solitary place where he prayed. You see, Jesus needed this time of communion with his heavenly Father to be able to ask for more of God's Spirit, to be able to sit and to contemplate God's love for him. He needed to be refilled and then able to go again. And whenever Jesus' disciples found him on that occasion, Jesus did indeed want to go again to the nearby villages, we're told, to preach and to heal. And it's interesting that he himself had such a sense of purpose, knowing that it was for this very reason that he had come. And whenever we look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels, we see this pattern being repeated over and over again. Jesus teaches, he preaches, he heals, and then he withdraws. He teaches, he preaches, he heals, and he withdraws. And he spends that time, whenever he withdraws, in prayer and solitude, and then he goes again. It informs his travels, it informs his conversations, interactions with other people, it inspires his preaching and his teaching, and it fills him with compassion, empathy, the power to listen and to heal. And yet Jesus could have been tempted to do the healing stuff all of the time. People really needed it. They and their families would have been so grateful for all that Jesus was able to do for them. And it must have felt absolutely amazing and wonderful to be able to make that difference in other people's lives. But Jesus pursued something bigger that was constantly evolving. He wanted to bring the values of God's kingdom to the earth. He wanted to see the world with God's eyes. He wanted to do the things that God would want him to do. And yet that could only come about through being still in God's presence, through sitting with an open heart and with open hands and reflecting on God's word and saying very simply, I'm here to serve and I long for others to know you. And so Jesus invested very, very heavily in a group, a small group of 12. He invited them to walk with him and to see how he did it. And then he sent them out to do it for themselves and to equip other people. I've already said that we live very busy and distracted lives. And perhaps one of the biggest contributors to our distraction is our mobile phone. I always leave mine home on a Sunday morning. And I also try to keep it out of the room for various parts of the day as I work, so that I can try to be still and to listen and to withdraw as Jesus did and then be replenished and refilled before going again. And so I wonder if instead of scrolling on your phone, could we persuade ourselves to sit for a pause with our Bibles? Could we try to keep our conversation with God ongoing as we do our chores, as we drive our cars, as we go for walks, or as we pray in the house. When I think of prayer in this place, there are so many people who are housebound or retired that do immerse themselves in this vital work of prayer for this place and for its witness. Last week, for example, when I called to see someone who hadn't been so well, the first thing I noticed when I sat down in the chair was a table beside me, and on that table was an open Bible and a prayer list of people that that person prays for. And it's a list that's constantly changing, she told me. And if I could recommend one book that I've found really helpful in thinking about these things, it's this book, which has a wonderful title. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it's by a man called John Mark Comer. And in this book, he shares some practices that he has built into his life in order to be more intentional about the life of prayer. But when I think about prayer in this place, I love that this hall has a prayer room where every week people can go in as individuals or sometimes as part of a small prayer group, maybe a prayer triplet or another person that they go to pray with, and they go into that room just across the corridor to pray. I love the chance to pray for those who are sick every Wednesday morning at our service of Holy Communion, where we have that opportunity to pray for those who are sick. Or I love that on Thursday evenings, during most of the year, when we meet to pray over Zoom, we can pray for the world, for the parish, and for those who are sick. I love the way Robin, our prayer warrior in this congregation, loves to pray at home for anyone who would like prayer. And you'll find his details in the parish magazine every month. And he'd be very happy to pray for any need that you might have, either on behalf of yourself or someone you care about. And I love that there are so many people in the congregation, just like that lady I visited, who have their prayer lists at home and who pray faithfully day by day. So let's invest, just like Jesus did, in this way of life, this life of prayer, and be fruitful in all we seek to do for him. Amen. We're going to stand together to sing the song of our offering. And as we pray, there's a really good reminder that when we pray, God is for us.
We won't fear the night. We will walk the night. Let us pray.
Lord, we thank you today for this incredible resource of prayer that you give to us. Thank you that it was the engine room or the powerhouse for Jesus' ministry, and we pray that it would be so for the life of our church today. We pray for David, our bishop, and we ask you to constantly refill him in all the different duties and decisions that he has to undertake. Give him an awareness of your presence and the time and the discipline to be still. We pray this Lent that you would orientate our hearts and lives to spend time with your word, and we ask you to fill our thoughts and our hearts with an ever-increasing love for you. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray today for a world in turmoil and disarray. We remember all of those places and situations that are embroiled in conflict and hostility. We pray for the whole region of the Middle East at this time. We remember especially Iran and Israel and the United States. We pray for Russia and Ukraine, for South Sudan, and for our mission partners in that dangerous situation, Andrew and Joanne Quill. We pray particularly for Andrew's recovery from a recent bout of malaria, and we ask for healing and restoration for him. Lord, we pray and we ask for your wisdom for the leaders of the nations, and we ask that they would be inspired to find new and creative paths to peace. We ask that you would heal all of those places and peoples that are affected by these conflicts that rage across the world. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And today we pray especially for all who are struggling with their mental health. We think of all those who grapple with anxiety and depression and who find everyday life a real struggle at present. We remember all who experience bullying in the workplace or at school, and who find those environments to be a daily source of stress and misery. Be real to those who find themselves in those situations, we pray. Bring kind and helpful people into their world, and convict all who engage in those behaviors and enable them to change. And we take some quiet moments now just to bring those who are particularly in our thoughts or on our hearts, who are going through really difficult things. Let's bring them to God's healing presence in the quietness and ask for his nearness and his touch to surround them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so in our next song, which we're going to sing together, we turn our focus heavenward as we sing the hymn of heaven. So as we prepare to go out into the world, we're going to pray together a prayer that asks for God's help to live for him and to be his people in the world. We go out into the world.
We go out into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And we bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, and to take up your cross and follow him. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. We sing our closing song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.